Thank you, Joe, and thank all of you for being here tonight. And it is a great day. The rain is wonderful. Amen? I'll tell you, everybody needs a good rain, and we got about 7.5, almost 8 inches down in Palestine yesterday. And, you know, it always rains on the just. I don't know about you folks. But anyway, it is great to be here, and I really appreciate the opportunity to come back home. This is my hometown of Hallsville, and I always tell everybody that. A lot of people from Hallsville always tell everybody they're from Longview. But I always tell them that I'm from Hallsville. And it's near a little place called Longview. But anyway, it is great to be back home, and I appreciate so much the opportunity to be here. And I appreciate the lesson that Chris brought a moment ago, and I hope that all of you are awake now. But no, I'm teasing. He did a great job, and we love and appreciate him so much. And it's always a delight to work with these guys on Give Me the Bible television program. And they always do a great job, and certainly it's wonderful to be with Joe and Sharon. We love and appreciate this couple so much. And Joe and our dear, dear friends, not only do we associate with each other in the spiritual realm, but in the production of the Dogwood Jamboree down in Palestine, where many of you have been on numerous occasions, no doubt. Joe is a big part of that, and it's always great to be associated with him. I'm just thankful to be here tonight and appreciate the invitation to come. You know, we live in tough times, people say. We really, really do. And there are times when we need to be refreshed. And I think of Paul's words to many in the New Testament, and he often refers to some with great specificity when he talks about those who refreshed his spirit. I don't know about you, but we all need our spirits refreshed from time to time. There are times when we need renewal. There are times when we need revival. And David in the Old Testament said, "Revive us again, O Lord, that thy people may rejoice in thee." And you know what? We can rejoice in God when we are revived and when we're encouraged and invigorated, stimulated, motivated to serve the God that we love. I want to talk to you tonight about something that is very serious and something that is very dear unto my heart, and is the fact that our nation needs to be refreshed and renewed. Do you agree? You know, there are a lot of problems in our nation. We still live in the greatest country in all the world. It seems as though in recent years we have taken a downturn. We have turned away from God. And the Bible says that the wicked shall be turned into hellfire and all the nations that forget God. I am convinced tonight that there are many myths that will destroy this nation. It will destroy any nation if we give heed to them. In the book of Judges, chapter 21 and verse 25, the Bible says that in the days where there was no king, that every man did what was right in his own eyes. And you know, seemingly today, people have forgotten about King Jesus. We talk about the president. We talk about those that are in power in our country and those who are in power in other nations. But we forget about the greatest king, and that is Jesus. You know, people often malign Christ. They often talk about him and say things about him that are untrue. A lot of people the other day got a little incensed when people were talking about the fact that they had found a document in their archaeological studies that would prove that Jesus was married. Did you see that by chance? Well, believe it or not, it is something that I knew a long time ago. I knew that Jesus was married, and I'd like to get on CNN. I'd like to get on Fox Network, the only Christian network, and I would like to get on any of those networks that would allow me to do so and tell them that Jesus has been married for a long time to his body, which is the church of the living God. But there are many myths in our world today. But there are truths that will enable us, if you will, to renew our country. And our country stands tonight in need of refreshing and in need of renewal. Do you know there are many passages in the Bible that remind us of such? In the book of Psalms, chapter 33 and verse 12, the Bible says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." And then in Psalms, again, chapter 144 and verse 15, the Bible says, "How blessed are the people who are situated He says, "How blessed are the people whose God is the Lord." And then in Proverbs 14 and verse 34, "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach or a disgrace to any people or any nation." I'm afraid that people look at America tonight with great shame because of what we have become. We have become a nation like the rest of the nations around the world. We have been led to believe that the most important thing in our world, in America, is stabilizing our economy and perhaps trying to keep everybody happy in America. I'm telling you, the one that I want to salute tonight and the one who I honor more than anybody else is my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the one who gives us freedom. And John said, "If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." But freedom will not survive if it is not cherished. You know, I don't know how much you really appreciate your freedom, but you know what? Your freedoms are being taken away from you every day in this country. It is true. Now, I said I was going to talk about myths that could destroy our nation. What is a myth anyway? Well, we all know what myths are. A myth is something that is untrue. It is a prevarication, if you will. It is a bald-faced lie. It is a falsehood. It is. You know, our country this year, if you will, in 2012, on July the 4th, this country celebrated her 236th birthday. Now, we're young in some respects, but I'm telling you, America is showing her age tonight. She is. You know, we don't like to show our age. Joe doesn't like to show his age, but it shows anyway. Now, I don't know about you. We don't like to admit that we're getting old. But you know what? When you get up in the morning and you go to the mirror and you see a few more wrinkles, you see less hair, you might see that double chin. We don't like to admit it, but we're all getting older, folks. We really are. We're one day closer to the grave. Could it be possible that our nation could die? Have you ever really entertained that thought in your mind? Is it really possible that America could die? And that someday they might be talking about, do you remember when there was that country or that nation called America? Well, I'm telling you, folks, it is not in fantasy land. It could happen. It could happen. As we speak right now, there are bills in the House and also in the Senate proposing to make it a crime for those of us who are gospel preachers to preach or even to discuss in a Bible class setting anything that is negative about homosexuality. It is a sin that is prevalent in our time, and it is a myth for us to believe that it is an alternate lifestyle and that same-sex marriage is something that is acceptable in the eyes of God. On CNN and in the Washington Post recently, they both reported that former chairman of the chief of staff, his name is General Peter Pace, was fired because he publicly expressed his opposition to a gay lifestyle or homosexuality. I want to share with you some myths that, if permitted to actually persist, will ultimately undo and bring about the death of this nation that we love and that we honor. I want to share with you some what I really believe are myth busters, if you will, and I want to see us renew and refurbish, and I want to see us refresh this great country in which we live. These myths, can be exposed, must be exposed, lest we allow our country to be destroyed. What are they? Number one, myth number one, untruth, bald-faced lie, falsehood, is that life began by chance. Now, we have a lot of folks that are really intelligent beings, and this is so beyond me, that intelligent beings could actually believe that we just got here by some kind of accident. It is not by accident that you're here. You were planned in the eyes of God. God knew you before you were even in your mother's womb. God knew you before you ever existed. Do you read in the Old Testament that God even raised up kings, even named them before they came into the world? The doctrine according to Darwin, Charles Darwin, is in trouble because the theory of what we call evolution is systematically being dismantled through everyday discoveries. They are the chain of evolution, they call it. And now that evolution is so entrenched in our public schools, the ACLU, or the American Civil Liberties Union, insists that only the theory of evolution be taught. Sometimes we wonder why we're losing our young people in the church. I wonder why we have so many young people that are turning away from God. Let me tell you something. When you start teaching young people that they descended from animals and apes, they will start behaving like they did. And we will turn away from God. But let the Bible speak. Why should we be so concerned about the Word of God? Why should we be turning the pages of God's eternal Word? I'll tell you why. Because the Bible is absolute truth. It is absolute truth. In the book of Genesis chapter 1, through chapter 11, the Bible tells us that the creation is not a fable. It is not a fantasy, but it is a fact. God created the heavens and the earth. There may be some tonight that they believe that they descended from an ape or a monkey, but not me. I know I was fashioned in the minds of my heavenly Father. Stop and think about it, folks. People talk about the Big Bang Theory, and that's kind of how all of our solar system kind of came together. Well, if that be true, then what caused the explosion? How can nothing times nothing or no one equal everything? Does that make sense to you? While responding to the theory of evolution, and it is so readily accepted in today's world, it was Huxley who said, the reason that we accept Darwinism without proof is that we don't want God to interfere. You see, in the book of Romans, the Bible says that even when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. And so they started worshiping the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed above all. And see, if you can just eradicate God from your mind, then you don't feel guilty anymore. You feel no restraint on you at all. There is a second myth that is being perpetrated in our world today. Not only that concept that life began by chance. And I'm going to tell you something. The founding fathers who established this great country and the framers of the Constitution of the United States were men who believed in Jehovah God. And we're rearing a bunch of politicians in our world today who disdain God, who reject the Lord God, and we wonder what's happening to our country. The myth that we can be moral without religion. The Supreme Court, and many of you remember this, back on November the 17th in the year 1980, made this statement that the Ten Commandments are plainly religious and may induce our children to read and to meditate upon them and perhaps to venerate and to obey the commandments. Well, bless their hearts. Would to God that they would read them. Would to God that they would obey them. Morality and religion can't be separated. For morality and religion go hand in glove. We live in a day and an age where Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20 said it of his time, that some call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Stop and think about it. Think about how we live in such a changing world today. And you know what? Most of it started up in Washington when we started passing laws that tried to reject God and to get him out of the classroom, to get him out of marriage, to get him out of our country. Don't even bring up the name Jesus. Yes, I'm going to tell you something. The real problem and where we need a real refreshing tonight is in Washington, D.C. Politicians have changed a lot. They have. We used to have a strong manufacturing economy in America. You remember that? We have become now a nation of consumers, not a nation of producers, but politicians changed that. We used to have a low tax structure in America, and we knew how to spend. We knew what it was to not spend beyond the money that we take in. Folks, that's just good sense. I don't know where these people are. We used to enjoy more freedoms, but politicians have changed that. We used to teach patriotism in school, but the politicians have changed that also. We used to educate our children in school, and we talked to them about God, and that's when the crime rate was low, but it has escalated, and politicians changed that. We used to enforce legal immigration in our country, but no more. Politicians have changed that. We used to have affordable food and gas prices, and politicians changed that also. Well, we could go on and on with that tonight, and I don't want to belabor the issue, but you understand the point that I'm trying to make. People think that you can be moral without religion. But then there is another myth, thirdly, and that is if it is legal, it is also moral. That is, if we pass laws up in Washington that say it's all right for you to engage in anything you so desire, regardless of whether the good book of God says it's all right, it's okay for you to do it. I'm here to tell you tonight, according to the Word of God, it doesn't make it right. Let the founding fathers speak. Listen to those who framed the Constitution of the United States. People like Jefferson, the father of our country, George Washington, John Adams, James Madison. They believed in the sovereign being whom we call God. As a matter of fact, did you realize that our form of government in Washington, D.C. is based upon Holy Scripture? In the book of Isaiah, chapter 33 and verse 22. Listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says, "For the Lord is our judge." Now that is judicial. Our lawgiver, that's legislative. And our king, that is executive. And the Bible says it is he who will save us. So our form of government, as we know it tonight, at one time was based upon the Holy Scriptures of Almighty God. Our government doesn't even know that. And it is a myth for us to believe that just because they pass laws in Washington saying it's all right when it is against the will of God, it is still wrong. It is still wrong, always has been, always will be. And that's why Peter and John said to the magistrates when they were commanded not to preach and teach in the name of Jesus, they said in the book of Acts, we must obey God rather than men. But there's another myth. It's the myth that I mentioned a moment ago, and that is the concept of gay marriage is an alternate lifestyle, an alternate way of being married, and should be accepted. And what's so strange and odd about all of this is President Obama ushers in what he calls Gay Pride Month and sanctions gay marriage. Can you imagine? How do you think George Washington would feel about that? How do you think that Abraham Lincoln, the great emancipator, would respond to Obama's plea for us to accept gay marriage? And for his wife to say that anybody ought to be able to stand at the altar and talk about the one that they love, whether he's male or female, and be joined in a relationship that only God himself sanctions. I can tell you, God does not join a man and a man in holy wedlock, and God does not join a woman and another woman in the state of holy matrimony. The Bible says, what God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. And I'm telling you, it is not according to the Holy Scriptures, and I'll preach it till the day I die. And I will not be intimidated. Marriage is under attack. You've probably heard of the quote NOW organization, the National Organization for Women. Sheila Cronin, who actually is a big part of that organization, made this statement that since marriage constitutes slavery for women, it is clear that the women's movement must concentrate on attacking marriage. And we have people, politicians again, up in Washington who are trying to eradicate that holy concept that God ordained, the first institution, folks, of all time in the Garden of Eden, even before the Church of the Living God. The home is under attack. In the book of Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible talks about the home and the responsibilities that are enjoined thereto to both husband and to wife. And yet the home is under attack because of all these mythological concepts that keep emanating. And I'm telling you, folks, that's where they're emanating, and it's out of Washington, and we need to do something about it, folks. But there is another myth, and that is that a fetus is not a human being. As Chris mentioned, we are certainly much more than just human beings, but we are human beings, and we are fashioned in the likeness of God Himself. For God said, let us make man in our own image. A fetus is not just a glob of protoplasm. God says otherwise. So God created us in His image, Genesis 1. And verse 26, and I'm telling you, folks, it may be legal, but it's not moral, and it's not right. Abortion is not an option. When you read the Declaration of Independence, the Declaration says we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. In January of 1973, and I remember it well, we had been in Palestine for about a year, but I'll never forget this. Roe versus Wade. The Supreme Court ruled that a fetus, I don't even like to use that word because it's a child. It is the Greek word briphos. It talks about a child in the womb of its mother, folks. But they ruled that a fetus was not a human. And as a result, conservative estimations, more than 55 million human lives have been aborted since. Stop and think about it. Someday, some folks will have a lot to answer for in the day of judgment. As a Christian, first and foremost, then as an American, our greatest challenge is to get people to obey God, who alone can change and renew and refresh our nation. For in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, God promised to do it. He said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and notice this, I will heal their land. Our land needs healing tonight. U.S. District Judge Barbara Crabb declared that the National Day of Prayer is unconstitutional, and obviously our president thinks so. He didn't attend. Proverbs 29 and verse 2 says that when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked man rules, the people groan. You know what? I've been hearing a lot of groaning in America. In America, oddly enough, for the godly to be in authority, we don't have to develop a coup. All we have to do is go to the polls. And we have to vote and let our voice be heard. And it is time for Americans who really believe in this country and the solidarity of the Word of God to stand up and speak out once again. I hope that we as Christians will remember our heritage and that we will get out and vote come November 6th. And that we will vote for God's values. Our loyalty needs to be first and last and always with the Thus Saith the Lord and the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something tonight. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I am an independent America who believes in this book. And I believe this book has been the rule of our nation from the very onset. God called this nation out of darkness. God blesses this nation as long as we bless and as long as we honor Him. And our loyalty should always be to Him. For the book of Galatians 5 and verse 1 says that you and I are to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Audrey and I had the opportunity to go to Washington, D.C. some time ago to tour Washington and spend a week there, and it was probably one of the most exhilarating experiences of my life. I'll never forget standing in front of the Washington Monument and seeing these words engraved, Laos Dia, which means let God be praised. Have you ever thought about all those monuments up in Washington, and every one of them, without exception, have the name of God on them? And I'm telling you, folks, even on the doors of the Supreme Court. And today we have people who reject the name of God, who lead us. So where does that tell you our nation's headed? God, renew our country. May He heal our land. May He refresh our spirits. Renewal begins with you, and it begins with me. It does. There's a poignant story of a young husband whose wife died and left him with a small son. Back home after the funeral, they went to bed as soon as it got dark because there was nothing else the father could think of that he could do to help the son. As they lay there in the darkness, numb with sorrow, the little boy broke the stillness and the silence from his bed with disturbing questions. Daddy, where is Mama? The father tried to get the boy to go to sleep, but the questions kept coming from that childish mind. And after the father had got up and brought the little boy to bed with him, the child was still disturbed and restless and would occasionally ask the heart-throbbing, heartbreaking questions. And finally, the young boy reached his hand through the darkness and placed it on his father's face. And he said, Daddy, if your face is toward me, then I think I can go to sleep. I would to God tonight that every politician in Washington and in the state of Texas and every other state in this union would ask themselves the question, is the face of God toward me? May God help us to become His children, if we're not. By faith and obedience to the gospel of Christ in baptism, a baptism that puts us into Christ and then live committed to Him above all else. The future of our nation, whether you believe it or not, rests with people just like you and just like me, a common folk. And I'm asking you tonight, will you renew your commitment to God? Will you? Will you allow God to refresh you? I'm going to tell you something. Our nation needs a makeover. We need a makeover, spiritually, for the church to survive. Listen, I'm convinced of this. There will be no church if we don't resurrect this nation out of the darkness and the muck and the mire. There will be a remnant here and there. But I'm telling you, the future of the church and your future rests upon what we do as a nation. Don't ever forget it. Blessed is the nation whose God is Lord. Now, whether you make a public response to the invitation call of Jesus tonight is your call. You may need to do that. It may not be necessary. But I hope that all of you will leave here with a greater resolve and a greater determination to be closely attached to the Jesus that we all claim that we love. Let me ask you a question tonight in closing. Are you married to Jesus, or do you only date on Sunday? Let us stand and let us sing.